Chapter 12. Ozias and the Princess. For about 5 verses, when Angel was just a little girl, she and the king had an inseparable bond. Though the queen refused Angel nearly all interaction with children her age, the king loved her deeply. And during a time known as the Shining Verses, when the king had defeated all enemies and Madonave reached a prolonged peace never before seen, he spent most of his free time with Angel. King Ozias showed her the ways of a king, how to rule honorably, and on occasion, he'd take her through the castle and show her all the secret passages and have all kinds of adventures with her. Ozias even trained her for combat. The king never dreamed his princess would see such fights, but his curious young daughter had grown intrigued by it, and if it meant a chance to bond, Ozias took it. Angel's fondest memories, however, were of the times he would take her out of the city and into the woods and the plains, and even one laps-long trip into the mountains. There he showed her the ways of a hunter in the wild, the same way his father had taught him. Nevertheless, as the princess grew older, the kingdom required more of her attention, or so demanded the queen, dividing her time with the king. Problems arose here and there, demanding the king to address them, and slowly, the princess and the king grew further apart. Angel frequently thought back to those days spent with her father, and her heart ached for them again. But as they slipped into their own separate lives, she accepted those aches as distant, wistful dreams, stuffed them in the past, and moved forward. After all, with the queen watching her back, Princess Angel would never receive her heart's desire. Hours passed before the kingdom of Madonave resembled anything of a normal day, and even so, a despairing lull hung over the haggling merchants and laboring tradesmen. No one could deny the daunting truth of the Feld's return any longer. To Madonave, this news more than devastated them. The War of the Milds verses ago had ended in the Feld being locked away in the abyss, never to return. What could have broken them out? Who could have done it? Only Abaddon himself, the darkest, most evil being in Vrainen or elsewhere, if anywhere else existed. This dark, twisted being, with just one of his followers, brought the most powerful kingdom in Vrainen to a solemn fear of desolation. If Madonave were a bright light, then Abaddon had thrown a thick blanket over it, draping the world in darkness. Though no one in the kingdom had experienced any kind of joy that day, no one knew the anguish like Princess Angel, and something had to be done. "Shale," Angel said. The maidservant made her way to the princess's bedroom. "Yes, princess?" asked Shale. "Would you escort me to the throne room? I need to speak with my father, and I fear if I go alone the queen might see me and allow her overly alarmed self to cause some kind of commotion." The maidservant nodded. "Of course, Princess Angel." "Shale," Angel's voice went rigid. "Just Angel." Shale gave the princess a hesitant nod. "Yes, Angel. The maidservant escorted the princess through the palace, filled only by a small number of people, mostly guards meeting with others and going about how to secure the palace from any possible uprising of the people. The royal community, however, was nowhere to be seen. Angel worried the king might not be in his throne. Though usually at this hour of the day he'd begun meeting with the earls and barons, the circumstances may have very well changed things. To her delighted surprise, when Angel and Shale reached the throne doors, two guards on either side stopped them. "The king is meeting with someone right now, princess. I'm terribly sorry, but I must keep you from entering." "It's no problem at all," said Angel. "When do you think..." The doors opened, moving Shale and Angel to the side. Earl Matten and one of his barons exited the throne room, catching not the slightest glimpse of the girls waiting off to the side. When they left, the throne room doors remained open. "I presume that means I can enter?" Angel asked the guards. "Of course, princess," said the same guard. Angel turned to Shale. "I'll try not to be long." "No worries, Angel." The maidservant looked at the guards, then back to Angel, then cleared her throat. "Take as long as you like. I'll wait here." "Thank you, Shale," said Angel. She turned and entered the throne room, the doors groaning deep and wide as they shut behind her. The king sat upon a throne of gold and red at the end of the elegant hall, the path to the throne laid with red carpet. Candlelight from the lone golden chandelier above, along with the candles hanging on each of the pillars on either side of her, lit the room in a cozy yellow-orange. The crowned king stood as Angel approached. "My daughter," he said with a deep chuckle. The king marched off the throne and met Angel halfway, wrapping her in an embrace. "It does me good to see you. I haven't much since New Verse Eve, have I?" Angel hugged him back with a wide smile. "No, you haven't." Despite being called the Proud King, known for his great strength and warrior spirit, Angel always thought Ozias's burly frame made for great hugs, and the large brown beard upon his pudgy cheeks encouraged them. The king squeezed harder. "Oh, by the Miles, this is just what I needed." Angel closed her eyes. "Me too." She hadn't realized it until then, but she'd needed a good hug for a while now, and it coming from her father made it all the more powerful. Two men carrying a table, followed by several others carrying dishes, entered the room and placed it in front of the throne. The king pulled from his embrace. "Ah, yes, I was just about to eat lunch. Care to join me, daughter?" "I'd love to," she said. He smiled, kissed her forehead, and they sat across from each other at the corner of the table. Angel took half the amount of roasted lamb as her father took, and a handful of vegetables. "So, daughter, what brings you to me today? Have you come to inquire about the flame? There are many fine young men who have my approval." She half smiled. "No, Dad, I've come to check on you. I know we're in a weird place, and I'm worried about you. How are you holding up with everything?" King Ozias swallowed a chunk of lamb and dabbed the grease off his face. "My, my, Angel, you're quite the delightful soul, always thinking of others." Angel bit into her lamb. It nearly melted in her mouth as she chewed, leaving the salts and seasonings to simmer on her tongue in a savory aftertaste. King Ozias said, "I must admit, it's been a difficult few days. I've never seen so much division among our people. We're facing a crisis nearly, but we'll get through it." "Yes, we will. What's been the most difficult about it?" "Truly, daughter, the lack of understanding among those beneath me. So many people think ruling is as simple as making the right decision every time, but decisions aren't always so simple." The princess swallowed a swig of water. "Decisions like getting rid of our wealth?" He paused briefly, then went back to his lamb. "What do you believe is the right decision, my king?" "I think you know that already, my daughter. Getting rid of all our wealth would destroy our kingdom. So will greed." The king dropped his utensils and they clanged against his plate and the table. "You don't know of what you speak. Some say our gold is cursed." Fire came into Ozias's eyes and Angel's heart sank and broke at once. "Cursed?" came the king's voice, slithery and laced with fury. "Costner has gotten to you, hasn't he? I don't know if I can trust him anymore. Seems he wants to turn the kingdom against me." "Father, you know my heart is for my kingdom, and Costner is the blessed sage." "And am I not the king, blessed by the Milds, according to tradition?" said the king, slamming his fist on the table. Angel jumped from fright. Her heart pulsed as if trying to burst out of her chest. "So this is why you've come, is it? Here I am trying to save my kingdom in the midst of chaos, thinking my daughter has come to visit me and bring me joy. Yet you come as one of Koshner's deceivers, trying to sway me to running the kingdom to his liking. He's turned even my own daughter against me." "No, father, I promise it isn't like that. I am for you. I am for our kingdom." The king stood up, his chair falling down behind him. Angel stood as well, backing away as he took slow steps toward her. "What's your plan? Destroy our kingdom so you can retake it together as the new king and queen of Madanove?" "What? No, of course not," she stumbled as she stepped back. "If the spirit and sage want to save us, they can do so without destroying our livelihoods. My duty is to my people. As the princess, you'd better learn yours or learn the consequences." "My king, forgive me. I meant no harm, I swear to you." The king stopped once they reached the doors. "I think it's best you leave." Compelled by fear, she immediately left the throne room and hurried across the hall. Shale had seen her leave and rushed to catch up. "Princess, is everything okay?" The princess rushed to an empty hall and found a place out of sight, Shale just behind her. "What's wrong, Angel?" Princess Angel pulled her maidservant into a hug as she trembled, tears dripping from her eyes. "Something has happened to my father," Angel managed to say. "That was not him in that room. I don't know who that was." The maidservant hugged her princess back. "I'm so sorry, Princess Angel." Angel knew Shale like a friend, so treating her like one never seemed odd. Yet even if Angel wanted such a relationship with a royal, she couldn't have one. Who could she trust? Her mother? Her father? Only Shale knew her troubles and treated her like none the lesser because of them. So Angel said nothing else until she'd trembled long enough to compose herself and carry on back to her room.